America is engulfed in protests once again, under the auspices of moral indignation and compassion. Yet not far below the surface, we can see a driving revolutionary ideology that is propelled by an unholy union of resentment and covetousness. At the same time as widespread daily rioting in Los Angeles over immigration raids, there are nationwide protests under the banner of No Kings. The latter protests oppose the military parade that was arranged by President Trump. The idea of such a parade has been lambasted as totalitarian and archaic. Yet, that argument seems provably false. It's common for nations of all structures to hold military parades, and holds no bearing on what type of country they are. Such displays are quite normal in Europe, which so many on the American left seem to idealize. President Trump apparently fell in love with the idea after visiting France during their annual Bastille Day parade, which has dark roots, for it commemorates the French Revolution. But that bloody revolt is one typically celebrated in leftist circles for its rejection of religion. So despite the claims of the left, it would be false to say that they are opposed to standing armies, which would be absurd, or even that they are opposed to military displays outright, but rather that they are uncomfortable with displays of force from those that they perceive as their enemies. It is noteworthy when someone considers his own military to be more of an enemy than those of foreign powers, however. Among the repeated mantras of those opposing the 250th anniversary parade is some variation of, "This is not North Korea." But we must remember that North Korea is such a nightmare country because it is communist. It is an evil country because it compels its citizens to say what is not so. It mandates false worship of the state and its rulers, makes dissidents disappear, prevents free expression, and prohibits true faith. All of these things are inherent in every communist country. It is the end point of the class warfare that is being engaged in by those in the American left. Let us look now to the rioters in Los Angeles, who are irate about the immigration raids, which fulfill a campaign promise and also enforce existing American laws. The primary target of ICE raids have been immigrants with criminal records, which is to say, those immigrants who have broken criminal as well as immigration law, and who therefore represent unnecessary threats to American citizens. This is not a theoretical concept, nor a trivial one. Illegal aliens with criminal records have ended American lives because they were not removed from the country. Amidst the swirl of statistics, it's easy to forget the humanity of the people that we are discussing. Or as Stalin attested, a single death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic. When we look a little closer at these catastrophes, we see cases like those of Victor Martinez Hernandez, an illegal alien from El Salvador, who raped and killed 37-year-old Rachel Morin on a hiking trail in Maryland. She was the mother of 5 children. Or there's the case of José Antonio Ibarra, an illegal alien from Venezuela, who raped and killed 22-year-old nursing student Lakin Riley in Athens, Georgia. He attacked her during a jog. A nation has not just a right, but a duty to protect its citizens from external threats, and it has been trying to do so. Kung Chun Fan, 49, was one of the illegal aliens recently captured by ICE in the Los Angeles sweeps. He's a murderer who fired his rifle into a crowd of 30 people in 1994, killing 2 teens and wounding others. He should not be at liberty in America, and most citizens would agree with that. Interestingly, the people who are rioting now do not do so when illegal aliens have killed, raped, or seriously harmed innocent Americans, even in high-profile cases. We might fairly ask why. It shows us a stark truth, that such people are not simply motivated by a surplus of compassion, else they would also care about such victims. Instead, they are adherents of a cultural Marxist worldview which underpins race politics. Through such a distorted lens, the problem is simple. The immigrants are typically non-white, and therefore innocent and oppressed. Law enforcement bodies are either white or associated with whiteness in that they promote Christocentric morality. The US military is dominantly white, and regardless represents a white concept, such as national sovereignty. Thus, this is simply an extension of racial politics. Like so much of cultural Marxist class warfare, it actually does not help any singular racial group, but leaves innocent people of every ethnicity vulnerable. What we are witnessing is not a principled resistance to violence or militarism, but a selective outrage that is guided by a revolutionary ideology. It is not rooted in love for neighbor, but a corrosive seeking of power, whereby the categories of oppressor and oppressed are assigned not by action or intent, but by race, ethnicity, and perceived cultural alignment. This reversal of true justice recasts the criminal as a symbol of resistance, and the citizen who expects safety as the villain. This is not the politics of mercy, but of resentment. And as with every ideology rooted in envy and division, its end is not peace or liberation, but disorder, bloodshed, and the collapse of any society foolish enough to tolerate it.